Please open your Bibles together and let us turn to the prophet Jeremiah chapter 9. We read the first 16 verses of Jeremiah chapter 9. And then we turn to verses 23 and 24 as our text. God's holy and infallible word given to us this morning. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep today, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the desert a traveler's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go away from them. For they are all adulterers, a company of treacherous men. They bend their tongue like a bow. Falsehood and not truth has grown strong in the land. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone beware of his neighbor and put no trust in any brother. For every brother is a deceiver, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor, and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity, heaping oppression upon oppression and deceit upon deceit. They refuse to know me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and test them. For what else can I do because of my people? Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceitfully. With his mouth, each speaks peace to his neighbor. But in his heart, he plans an ambush for him. Shall I not punish them for these things, declares the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on a nation such as this? I will take up my weeping and wailing for the mountains, and a lamentation for the pastures of the wilderness, because they are laid waste so that no one passes through, and the lowing of cattle is not heard. Both the birds of the air and the beasts have fled and are gone. I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a lair of jackals, and I will make the cities of Judah desolation without inhabitant. Who is the man so wise that he can understand this? To whom has the mouth of the Lord spoken that he may declare it? Why is a land ruined and laid waste like a wilderness so that no one passes through? And the Lord says, because they have forsaken my law that I set before them and have not obeyed my voice or walked in accord with it, but have stubbornly followed their own hearts and have gone after the Baals as their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed this people with bitter food and give them poisonous water to drink. I will scatter them among the nations whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. And then we turn to our text in verse 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. And then we turn secondly to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 31. The Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, these words of commendation to them. and showing forth what truly is good in the sight of the Lord. Paul says, "For consider your calling, brothers, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards, not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." And then the one verse in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, we read as well. Proverbs 1, verse 7. Where the writer says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Congregation, beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, from the time that we are little children, we have learned to boast about ourselves and to be proud of the things that we do or things that we can accomplish. I remember way back when I was still in elementary school, one of the things the kids would talk about after they got a test back from the teacher, they'd ask each other, "Well, what did you get on the test? What did you get? I got 80%. What did you get?" And we like to boast of the good mark that we get in our schoolwork. We boast of many things, congregation. We boast about being the best player on the team, or we boast about having nicer clothing than somebody else. We quickly boast in things we can do. So often I heard people say way back then, "Well, guess what? We went to Disneyland," and they boast of the great event and the place they went to. People boast about all kinds of things. That's how we're wired, isn't it, as sinful, fallen creatures of Adam and Eve. We boast of ourselves. We feel very quickly very good and proud of ourselves. And as we get older, or perhaps we get more subtle in our boasting and feeling naturally proud. It's so characteristic of our fallen humanity. But congregation, is there really a thing to boast about? How and where can we rightly boast or glory? Well, the Apostle Paul shows us the way there in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, when he asks, "What do you have that you did not receive?" Now that makes us think. What do you have that you did not receive? That helps to answer the question, doesn't it? And Paul goes on to write then in verse 31 of chapter 1, "For as it is written, let the one who boasts," yes, "let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." Prophet Jeremiah had many good things to say as well about this aspect of our human nature. How and why and what way can we truly boast, and in what ways must we never boast? And that brings us to our theme this morning. The prophet declares Judah's only hope and salvation. When we look at that scripture passage we have just read, we see that Judah really had nothing to boast about. In terms of themselves, they were in dire straits. They had fallen out of favor with God a long time ago. They'd given themselves up to idol worship, to all sorts of treacherous and wicked and evil living. They were ripe for destruction. And God, we know already, had prepared that great nation Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar to come in and invade and to punish his people, to destroy them, to take a great many captive to Babylon. Judah indeed had forsaken the Lord, and that was the problem. We look at verse 13, Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord, because they have forsaken my law that I set before them and have not obeyed my voice or walked in accord with it, but have stubbornly, he says, stubbornly followed in their own hearts, have gone after the Baals as their fathers had taught them. Earlier on, Jeremiah describes God's people saying in verse 2, they are all adulterers. They are a company of treacherous men. They bend their tongue like a bow. Falsehood and not truth has grown strong in their hands, and they proceed from evil to evil. And the thing is, they don't know me, says the Lord. They just don't know me anymore. And he goes on to speak about their oppression of one another and their deceit and their lying. And they're speaking with their tongue is like a deadly arrow and so forth. So that God has to say immediately next in verse 15, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed this people with bitter wood. I will give them poisonous water to drink. I will scatter them among the nations whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. God was proclaiming his judgment upon his people. They had lost the true wisdom of God. That's why he says back in chapter 9, verse 12, who is the man so wise as he can understand this? What man has the wisdom in all of Judah? Who has the wisdom to understand the mess we're in? How did we get here? What can be done about it? Where is the wisdom we need to get all things right and amend our lives and return to the Lord our God? Oh, Judah, Judah's glory was a fading glory. They had been boasting in all the wrong things, in all the wrong gods, in all the wrong places. They'd been boasting in their accomplishments. They'd been boasting in themselves, literally. And in all their evil ways, their treacherous ways, their adulterous ways. And so their glory was really a fading thing, wasn't it? It was on the way out. It was going to be gone. As they had gloried in themselves, as they had gloried in outward stuff, in worldly glitter, in godless living. And yet even now the Lord still holds for them a glory that does not fade away, of a thing to boast that is eternally true and real forever, a glorying not in themselves but in me. In me, the Lord speaks through Jeremiah. And so we see, congregation, again our theme, the prophet declares Judah's only hope and happiness. And it comes by means of not boasting in man's wisdom, in man's might, or in his riches. And these Old Testament words were written just as much for us New Testament folks today. We read in verse 23, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Oh, no, not there. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands. It's a very important word, that he understands and that he knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. We note first, congregation, we cannot boast in man's wisdom, might, or in his riches. Notice how Jeremiah here again begins our text. He says, thus says the Lord. This is not Jeremiah's wisdom. This is not his assessment of all that's wrong with Israel. But it is the Lord's that he's speaking about here. The Lord's true wisdom and so forth. Jeremiah here sounds a call to faith and repentance for his people. Jeremiah is God's spokesman. Jeremiah must address all the wise men in Judah and all the mighty men in Judah and all the rich men in Judah and all those who boast with them as a whole collection of people, even as the Church of Jesus Christ in those times. In congregation, we see here are three things, even today, that people so readily boast of their wisdom, of their might, of their riches. And in the end, isn't that all a boast about self? My riches, my wealth, my wisdom, my power, mine. Look what I have assimilated or gained myself. And such was Judah, overloaded with self-confidence, overloaded with human pride, full of their own wisdom. They had believed in their wise counselors. They had trusted the words of the false prophets. They believed in their rulers and judges, that these people had all the answers for a successful and a happy life, even to say, peace, peace. And yet we know there was no peace. There wasn't any. They thought they had the wisdom to be able to ward off all disaster and to prevent economic collapse in their nation. They thought they had a means to stave off that pending threat of Babylonian invasion and domination of the world. They thought they were safe. They really thought they were safe, trusting their own wisdom, which came down to here, Jeremiah says, as the following Baal, as their fathers had taught them. We see they were steeped in Baal worship already for generations, as their fathers had taught them, so they believed that wisdom, that idolatry. But they were so far removed from the true wisdom of God, and that was their folly and their downfall. Oh, what a thing, congregation. They thought they were so smart. They had life all figured out. They had it all together. And it did not need God's law or grace to make all things good and to keep all things well. They'd forgotten the wisdom of Solomon, who said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction." If we despise the wisdom of God, congregation, we are nothing but wretched fools. No compliment to you if you forget the instruction and wisdom of God. You're a bunch of fools. And so was God's people as a whole. The Apostle Paul reinforces the same thing, but in a way in which he shows God's people in the Corinthian church what it really meant to be wise and strong and blessed. He says, "For consider your calling, brothers, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards." Isn't that a wonderful thing to say of you as a congregation? Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards, but you are wise according to the standards and the ways of God. Not many of you were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world, even the foolishness of preaching. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. That's how God operates. Praise be to God for the way He manifests His wisdom and His might and His truth. And yet the world keeps shouting at us, doesn't it? Keeps shouting and holding before us through all the forms of media that we don't need God to be happy. The wisdom of the world is this: we don't need God to have a hope for the future. We don't really need God's wisdom or God's instructions to be strong and healthy and wise. We don't need His law. We really don't need to live according to His ways in order to be blessed. But Jeremiah counters that by saying, Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. What is your wisdom all about, brothers and sisters? What is your boast? In recent years, we've come across the word woke. I can't give a lecture on that this morning, but I simply note the world's wisdom has gone woke. Woke instead of wisdom. Overturning God's ordinances and laws, which since the beginning of creation have defined our very humanity. It's all being overturned upside down. We hear of noted professors in Ivy League universities in the United States speaking openly that one's biological sex at birth has really no ultimate bearing on one's gender, as if the two can be completely separated. Do you get that? That one's biological sex ultimately has no bearing on one's gender? Some of the brightest minds in the universities are saying these things and teaching that to this latest generation of students. Wisdom has gone woke. Wisdom has gone crazy. And transgenderism is but the latest display of worldly wisdom. Here it is on a platter for you. But it's really diabolical, isn't it? It's of the devil. Jeremiah must preach, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. If you're going to be happy, if you're going to have hope for the future, if you're going to be comforted and secure, that you must not boast in this world's wisdom. Secondly, Jeremiah goes on to speak about another category. He says, let not the mighty man boast in his might, in his human strength. And what really is human strength, congregation, is so fleeting, isn't it? Just like our youth, we like to be young forever and we think we'll be young for a long time, but guess what? We deceive ourselves. We very quickly get older and we begin to lose our strength and soon we're gone. We think of professional athletes or Olympic champions who were in the spotlight for a short period of time and they gloried in their abilities, and soon they're yesterday's heroes and are completely forgotten. So much for that. The psalmist says, what are the days of our life? 70 years, and if by reason of strength, 80 years, but soon we are cut off and we are no more. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 90. And if we look at the boast of military might and strength in the world, whether in the past or today, think of that great king Nebuchadnezzar who said in the book of Daniel, see this great Babylon that I have built. And we know what happened to him very soon after. He was given the mind of an animal and he was crushed. The great power of Babylon in the ancient world lasted several decades. And it was all taken away in a single night when King Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall and his empire was down the tubes. We think of Vladimir Putin today, whose boast was that he could defeat the Ukraine within 3 days last year, maybe four. But alas, his armies were not so strong, and all the military strategy that he brings to the foreground today, it's not so good either. O congregation, let not the mighty man boast in his might, but not the strong man boast in his muscles or in his legs, what he can do with his body. There is surely no final hope and happiness there either as we begin to wither away. And so how futile was Judah's own hope and her armies that they would withstand the Babylonians when God had directed them to punish her. We think of that great boast of Goliath, that mighty giant. But his boast was short-lived because David boasted in the true and the living God of Israel. And Goliath went down when a stone hit him in the forehead. Brothers and sisters, we may be strong right now, but can we build our security on that human strength? Oh no, Paul says God chose the weak things in the world to shame the strong. Not your muscles or your brain power, but God chose the weak things to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that human beings might boast, so that no human beings might boast in the presence of God. Before God, congregation, what are we? But vessels of clay. We've been made of the dust of the ground. And God gives us the breath of life in our bodies for a few short years, but soon we're undone. Your hope and your happiness and your blessedness has got to come from so much more than mere human might or power. And then Jeremiah moves on to a third way in which men boast. He says, let not the rich man boast in his riches. Here we think of mighty men, the shakers and the movers of the world, whether in those days or now, boasting in the things that their money can do and accomplish and make and ensure for them their security. Matthew Henry wrote in his commentary, let not the rich man's wealth be his strong city. He was thinking of a strong city as with walls around it, a strong fortress, strong tower, kind of the thing that we would think is unmovable and unshakable. But he says, let not the rich man's wealth be his strong city. Another writer points out two problems with wealth or riches. He says, riches may leave us while we live. How true. Or we must leave them when we die. In both cases, we don't win if we want to find our happiness and strength and security in our riches. They are no lasting treasure. They cannot be a source of lasting, I say lasting happiness. Sure, they make people happy for a while, but it's all so empty. It's all on the surface. It's not something that fills their hearts truly with hope and happiness for tomorrow and for eternity. Yeah, think of eternity, congregation, as you consider what truly is wisdom and riches and might. Think of the long picture, of the long haul of eternity that is before us. And then say, what can I boast in with that in front of us? And so our Lord Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now that's wise. Lay up yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys. Those are riches. Where thieves do not break in and steal. Oh, let not the rich man glory or boast in his riches. If he did, that'd be one sad, wretched, disappointing end. And so, congregation, as we consider these things, as we look at wisdom, as we look at might and riches, we see that they indeed are gifts of God to be used, of course, very rightly in his service ultimately. But having wisdom or might or riches given by God, why should we not rather glory in the maker of them as the one who gave them to us? That is wise. And especially as we realize we will come into serious crises in our life and we'll be confronted one day with perhaps wasting disease and so forth, then how can human wisdom, might, or riches help you? They will utterly fail you. Oh, brothers and sisters, let him who boasts. Indeed, the point is we all will have something to boast of, but then let it be this, that he understands me and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love and justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. We turn now in the second place to those things we really ought to boast about. Boast in that sense of truly glorifying or glorying in that right thing, namely our Creator, our Savior, our Sanctifier. Let him who boasts in this that he understands and knows me, says the Lord. Here Jeremiah hits the nail on the head with Judah's only hope and only happiness, its only remedy out of all her wretched misery, her weeping, her lamenting. The writer says, let him who boasts glory in this that he knows and understands me. Understanding has that whole picture of thinking about, reading and studying and reflecting upon and really getting a handle of what God says in his word as he reveals himself and thinking in a believing fashion about that holy word of God and knowing in your heart it's right. God's word, it is true. It is sensible. God's word never conflicts with science anywhere, nor with any true rational thinking. It's fully in agreement with the word of God because God's word is a rational, understandable word. And consider it right and good because God's word is real. It is true. It accurately records the history of God's mighty works and ways and the glorious works and powerful ways of the Lord Jesus. It's historically, accurately true. Therefore, it's right. Therefore, it's real. And it is good in every part. And therein we see God revealing himself as our great God and Father, and Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit as our regenerator and our sanctifier. We meet there the Lord God of heaven and earth, our Creator, our mighty King, our mighty Counselor, and our Provider. And it is he who says to us, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands. And he knows me. Who is me? That I am the Lord who practices, notice, three things. I practice steadfast love, second, justice, and third, righteousness. I practice these things in the earth, for in these things I delight, says the Lord. And so, congregation, we need to delight in what the Lord delights in, that he's gracious to you, and he's gracious because he loves you with a steadfast love, as Jeremiah points out to us there in verse 24. He loves us with a steadfast love. We can actually boast and say, the Lord God is the lover of my soul. Indeed, the Lord God is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside green pastures, beside still waters. He leads me in the way which is truly wise. It's understandable. I get it. It's right. It's true. I will be blessed. Here is my hope and my happiness. It's my God and Father in heaven that though I am a sinner, he still loves me with his covenant love. Well, we have on the one hand rather limited knowledge about many things, congregation, but if there's one thing we need to know fully, truly, is that let him who boasts, let him boast in the fact that he understands me and knows me. That's why, young people, it's so vitally important that you understand and learn your catechism lessons very, very, very well, because by these tools, you get to understand God and to know him, not just as some kind of an abstract idea, but your personal God and Savior, his Son, Jesus Christ, who bled on the cross for sinners like you and me, and a Father in heaven who loves us despite what we are, and to really know Him truly. That's something to boast in, to glory in. Do you glory in your covenant God and Father congregation? Do you truly glory in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior from sin? And in the Holy Spirit, your sanctifier, that He dwells in your hearts, that He actually knows you. And we are to know Him, the third person of the Holy Trinity, whose temples we are. Yes, boast in this, that you understand and know me. Me with a reference to the Holy Triune God of heaven and earth. And yet, congregation, we need to be real. We know how quickly we boast in foolish things, little things, trivial things, vain things. Oh, often have we looked in the mirror, and we think we look pretty good. We look pretty cool. We boast in our appearance, our good looks. We go to school and we get all A's and we boast of our IQ. I'm smarter than most of the kids in the class. We boast of our prestige. We have a good social standing. My grandpa's got lots of money. We got it made. No problems. We boast. But let's not boast in those things. Please do not boast trivial earthly things that are here today and gone tomorrow, but understand the Lord and experience His loving kindness in the morning and His faithfulness every night. That's something to boast in. That He loves you in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's kind towards you. Isn't it nice when people are kind toward us? That's such a beautiful thing in our human life is kindness. The Lord God loves us and He is kind toward us. That's something tender and warm to boast about. He's gracious and He's compassionate. He's slow to anger even at our sins. Here was the thing that Judah should have been going to. Forget about adultery. Forget about lies and deceit and treachery and abuse and oppression. And begin to think about God again. God, her Father, God, her Savior, God, her Lord. And then Jeremiah goes on to speak about a second thing that we are to understand and know about God, what He practices in the earth, and it's this whole matter of justice. We read, "Understand and know me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love," but now secondly, also justice. Isn't it good to know, congregation, that the Lord God is going to punish the wicked one day? That the day of judgment is actually coming and each man will get according to his works. The high and mighty men who thought they could get away with murder and everything else in this life. That they are going to be punished. And the Lord is going to vindicate the righteous. Yes, you and me who have suffered for Christ's sake. We who relied upon those things that the world thought was absolutely ridiculous and stupid and foolish. Who had the silly idea that it was good to go to church on Sunday and to hear the proclamation of the gospel. That silly business of preaching. And we will be vindicated on the day of the Lord. That we have been faithful to the Lord in our worship. And have sought those things that are truly wise in this earth and in this life. And to know that God will then bring His justice to bear upon the sons of men who've shaken their fists at Him and laughed at Him. Understand and know the Lord who practices judgments in the earth in the last day. And it's something we will not have to worry about in the least. The wicked will get what they deserve. But keep on glorying in your God of perfect justice. There is your hope and your happiness. And then lastly, Jeremiah says that we are to boast and understand and know the Lord as the one who practices righteousness. in the earth, as we look at the world to say and see the abounding wretched wickedness and idolatry and sexual immorality and morality of every other sort, and the pollution in the world in terms of the spiritual pollution that exists, the cruelty and the hatred and the misery that's brought on by all kinds of addictions, and then to know there's still this thing called righteousness, something that's right and true and good and holy and sweet and wonderful and perfect. God is the God who practices righteousness in the earth. And of course, it comes through His glorious holy gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ to sinners like you and me, so that we would be made holy who were wretchedly wicked and foolish, so that we would be able to live righteously with integrity and even bear the image of the Lord Jesus Christ through righteousness, holiness, and having knowledge. There we have a foundation for happy and holy and hopeful living. Oh, on the other hand, congregation, can you imagine if you didn't know these things and you'd missed the whole purpose of your life? You'd been living in the dark all your life and there you stayed, and you missed the boat completely when it comes to the day of Christ's return, and all you had before me was the wide open gaping mouth of hell to receive you. Meanwhile, you had the whole world, so to speak. You boasted of yourself, of all that you had accomplished. But you had no righteousness from God. And you lost your soul. And then indeed it's over. That's how the wicked die. That's how the boastful come to their end. To an empty, miserable, guilty, wretched end, death forever. Without hope and without God in the world. For they did not glory in this, that they understood and that they knew the Lord to be a God who practices justice and righteousness and wisdom in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. But they did not delight in those things. Oh, what do we truly delight in? Dear brothers and sisters, what are we happy with? And what has made us wise? That you understand and that you know me, says your God, the God of your salvation. Amen.